Well, let's open up to Luke 11. Luke 11. And let's begin here with the 27th verse. I'll pass in review briefly, I trust. This is the chapter when the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. And of course, he taught them what we call the Lord's Prayer, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And then he taught on praying down the bread for somebody that doesn't know how to go to God and get it themselves. And then he taught somewhat on Satan's war machine. But now, now he's teaching on himself as the answer to all of that. And becoming the greater one, even greater than Solomon and greater than Jonas. We've been catching a glimpse, as much as we can understand, as in the born-again trail, into his glory. And when he pulled me into the Spirit, I got my first look at it. I told you, as soon as he could unfold it enough to my understanding, then I would begin to be able to teach on it accurately. But at that time, it was in me, it was in my spirit. It was trying to come to my mind, but it was just overpowering me. It was too much. I had the feelings from it. It was just too much. But now as it's trickling to my mind and sorting itself out, I'm able now more than I could 2 or 3 months ago to teach upon it, line upon line. Just recently, I've recognized where some of my emotions are coming from. Now, the one thing I always understood to come from my spirit that finally surpassed all circumstances was peace. I knew that whatever it was that was causing me to be so calm and peaceful in the midst of all circumstances had to be that peace that emanates from your spirit. And sure enough, that's what it turned out to be. But as far as I knew, that was the only, if you could classify it as an emotion, that I understood to come from my spirit. And it was a stillness. It is a stillness. That is so calm and quiet. It's almost a stillness that's just a deafening roar. Meaning the stillness is so loud, yet it's so quiet, that it drowns everything else out. So to understand that is anything I'd ever had before, I really couldn't. But the further I get into it, the harder it is to explain to the natural mind. But it's a resounding peace that is so loud that it's a deafening roar. But most definitely supersedes, is stronger than anything else that's ever come against me. In the certain teaching of the rich man and Lazarus, people will say that people end up in hell are full of revenge. But the rich man in torment, the only thing he was interested in is negotiating relief. But the moment he landed in hell and found out it was forever, at the eternity of that moment when it settled in, I think of it. You're just landing in hell. Everything anybody's ever said, every Sunday school lesson, every hell's fire and brimstone preacher that you laughed at, every truth that was ever spoken just runs through you. And one thing you know, that deafening roar, it resounds, that permanency that's so powerful, the moment it settles in, that you're here forever. What good would it be to wish all your friends was there with you? All the rich man did was he looked across the chasm, the great void, and Abraham, he saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom, and all he wanted was to negotiate just for a little bit of water. But you can bet eternity never becomes so powerful and so loud as it did that moment when he knew there was no alternative. That you're here for good. But now, when he let me look at his glory for a moment. And I've had some other kinds of feelings that's been emanating, and I've never had them before either, except what I classified as a gifting, such as the gift of faith, when for a moment of time an anointing had come on you and you had God's faith to get somebody out of a wheelchair or overpower some situation. But what's been coming on me and just staying on me, I'm having seasons of feelings that just emanate through my whole soul and my mind that I'm a conqueror, and that, yes, it is all true, and yes, it is all yours. Can't you see it? Can't you feel it? And I slip into those times that, God, I wonder about myself. Why could I have ever doubted? Why did I have such trouble coming to this place? And you just wonder and wonder and wonder. And it makes me wonder how many people's touched it. Even though, you know, there are things that are coming and going and I'm slipping in and out of, I've never cried so much in my whole life. Well, the other realms was easy to slip into. And boy, this one is something else, you know. Well, Jesus was teaching, you know. He said, teach us to pray. And he taught on the Lord's Prayer. And he taught on praying down bread for people that don't know how to go to God. And of course, then he went and taught on devils and unclean spirits when they go out of men. But then he began to reveal why all of this was possible and who he was as the greater than Jonah. And no matter how much wisdom Solomon had, as a man that was greater than Solomon. You have to understand, people were seeing a man standing there. They were seeing a man, and he was making these statements like this. It's incredible. Yet, you know, I hear so many people teaching. Well, in my Father's house is many mansions. And we actually believe that he's building some physical dwelling for us to live in. And the descriptions of them, when now seasons of teachings come through the body of Christ, gets more vivid every time. Which I'm not saying they're not. I just don't know. Diamond doorknobs and golden tubifores and all of it sounds great, but that doesn't interest me too much. I really don't care about that kind of dwelling. What I care about is how close I am to the Lamb when he wanders around heaven.
Yes.
It just so happened it wasn't the golden tubifores he's talking about, but how close you are to the Lamb. And he said, my Father's house has many rooms. There's many dwellings. If it were not so, he said, I'd have told you. Something as important, as major as this. He says, if this was not so, I would have told you. He says, in my Father's house is many rooms. He says, I know, because in my humanity as the Son of God, I occupy one of them. I occupy a room with my Father in his inheritance in his house. In my humanity, I occupy a room with him. I am his son. But I have good news for the human race, in particular, you that I'm teaching. He says, if it were not so, I'd have told you. He says, but I go by way of the cross. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go prepare this place for you, you can rest assured I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you'll be also. I go to prepare a place for you. I'll come again. I'll go by way of the cross. I'll come again in this room I occupy with the Father in my humanity as His Son. I will come again and receive you unto myself, and that where I am, at this room I occupy with Him as His Son, I'll receive you unto myself. You'll become an heir of God. You'll become a joint heir with me. And where I am, there will you be also. But I really have some good news for you while you're wandering around this planet. This is why you'll have great boldness in the day of judgment, John said, because as He is, so are we in this world. Meaning He now occupies that room, that place with the Father at His right hand in a glorified body. And He wants you to know, as He is in His humanity and in His Spirit and in His position and all that authority He has there, is that the authority He had here. He wants you to know He had to leave you behind, but that's okay, because as He is, so are you in this world, if you can believe it.
Hallelujah. Glory.
Well, He said all things are possible to him that believe it. Those words have echoed, you know, through the generations of time. So few have grasped them. In particular, a group like us. You know, Son Gary was talking about how did he, and what did He have to do with you and I being born on this planet, and there's more alive on the face of the earth since the flood and now than has ever lived and died. Now, we don't know about before the flood, but after, there's more alive on the face of the planet right now. However it was you come to be born now, we don't really know. We know God had pre-knowledge of it because He's God. But somehow, you've been entrusted with the souls of more men that's ever lived and died. And down through the generations, it's always been echoed, always. All things are possible to him that believed. To anyone that picked up a script. And then the publishing companies and the printing press was born, and it spread and spread. And now the media is like never before. The availability of revelation knowledge at our fingertips in every language and every translation. Just tap a few buttons. In our generation, it's being echoed more and to a larger population than ever before. Now, what was it? Was it because God looked and He saw potential in you that He had entrusted you with the masses? Is that why you were born now? Well, one thing for sure, those words echoed from Jesus' lips. They echoed from the lips of those who followed Him. They were found in the writings and then later the testimony of the gospel. They were found in the pastoring epistles. One way or another, to the man that got a hold of God, the man that made a connection, found out who he was, who God is, all things are possible. The man that seen these things come to pass was not the men that wanted all the glory of God, who he was, and all his resources to serve themselves. If you're guilty of that kind of greed, eventually a counterfeit will be slipped in. You won't be serving the right spirit. What God made all things possible for, that if you don't have a heart that cares anything about the person next to you going to hell, then you haven't even got 1/4 of the heart of Jesus Christ. Not a bit. Thank God. He said, all things are possible to him that believes. You'll never see the fullness of those statements until they're uttered from the heart of an absolute servant, as put himself at the slavery of God, disposal of God. And all that he has and all that he is available. And I believe you're going to see it. I believe you're going to see it. Amen. Oh, thank God. Thank God. What he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I will come again. And I'll receive you unto myself, that where I am, that's where you'll find yourself. In all things have become possible to you. Everything. It's the most exciting words I heard in my whole life was just the other day. He said, until you understand your inheritance, son, you're not going to cover this earth with what I gave you. Because you'll limit your ministry to limited men. Who's limited me, who believes in legalism, and that I'm limited to their legalistic acts. He said, I am not. You have my name. You have my inheritance. And all that heaven has is yours. And I want to get the world saved worse than you do. So if you don't mind taking the limit off, I don't mind doing my part. Limited men, that's limited God. And he says, if a preacher has subjected himself to limited people who have limited me by their acts of legalism, he said, then they're serving under a limited preacher who's limited me because his dependency is on people. Hello, Abraham. Hallelujah. 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 Well, for a person to begin to operate in all of this and all of his glory, you have to understand who you are. You have to understand what he's given to you and what caused you to become his son. It's when he translated you out of darkness into the kingdom of his Son and light. And in a moment of time, your spirit went from the nature of sin, a death nature, and to receiving his nature, a new nature. And the whole thing is dependent on you being able to learn how to operate out of that new nature. Some of the most amazing things that he said. He said to the Jew, now that you're sons, because Jesus had just fulfilled the curse of the law and freed them from it to receive the adoption of sons. And to the Jew, he said, now that you're sons, he said, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son. Now, that term wasn't talking about sending the Holy Spirit. He says, I want you to know now that your sons, the same Spirit that Jesus had in him, that human spirit that he quickened from death to life, is the same one that you have in you. You're my son, all right, because the Spirit of adoption has come. You're my son, okay, but I want you to know, he was saying, that you are my son by nature. You have received my nature. He says, and now that you're sons, he says, it is because he sent forth the Spirit of his Son. He says, and now that you know God, or rather known of him, meaning not only did Israel know God through his acts, and they got to see him do things like part the Red Sea. He says, now that you know God, it goes further than that, or known of him. Well, of course, he is aware of everyone all those generations, spiritually dead or not, but not known of Him. He's talking about that new nature. That you know God, or rather known of Him. Because now that we have a new nature, because we are His sons, become one with Him. In that new nature, He says, why do you want to, O Jew, turn to the weak and the beggarly elements and serve those things who by nature are no gods? See, I have a nature. I have a new nature. I'm not going to bow my knee to anything. Not to money, not to another human being, not to days, not to anything. Because I've become a son of God. I have a new nature. I'm not going to bow my knee to anything else except God. Because by nature, I have become His son and I have His inheritance. And what I'm serving Him through is my new nature. Because that is what I have that put me in fellowship with Him. And that is what I have that makes me like Him. Whew. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Well, I tell you, this will play with your head. And did you notice how your spirit turns on like a dynamo and goes, Pretty soon, you're just not leaving here looking for the sick. You say, where's dead people at? He got loose Friday night and just started healing people. Just started healing them all over the place. I had the best time with God. I just love to walk with God like that. And He's just running, just flowing through here. It's a prayer night, but what can you do? He was running off of me like sheets of water. Finally, I just couldn't stand anymore and went out in the crowd and just started getting people I knew was sick a little. I said, come here, little sweetie, just take my hand. She said, my God, my brain is heating up. What's wrong? Then that's where her disease was, our little lady that sits in the back here and had the little cane and had the muscular disease where her muscles was deteriorating and she's shaking, you know. She said, I was laying on the floor and my brain got hot. I was thinking, mine's hot all the time. Come on, people. Have you noticed that there's a lot of people to help you on the not being like side? So you might as well like yourself. You get plenty of help with the other. Just might as well, I mean. So she said, my bridge. In fact, she came up right up here and just kept standing there saying, I want to talk, you know, I want to talk. And she said, okay. She kept trying to get in, you know. It's real hard to break in on a preacher. There's no breathing or nothing, no pauses. If they pause, they talk breathing in. And so, that's just so you won't interrupt them between them. She said, I want to say something. So okay. My brain got hot when I was on the floor, and that's where the problem is. I think when you walk with Him all the time, that's when you... It's when your walk's all mixed up and you live in double-mindedness and emotionless. You like to come here and listen to this, the level of the Word like we love to live in. You like to hear that and then you like to go live another lifestyle out there. All that does is causes a lot of torment back and forth. So, you know, you don't have as much fun as I do. Hallelujah. I like to take sinners with big mouths and get the devil off of them and then watch their eyes get about this big. Boy, that's fun. One guy, his wrist had been broken. He couldn't bend it. Well, you're God. He's so big. How about my wrist? And I went, Jesus' name. I said, yeah, how about it? And he goes, I can't believe this. I said, believe it. Well, then he came to the meetings. You live like that? You might as well. Hallelujah. I remember I was in a restaurant. This woman comes running over because she'd just been in a meeting. Pray for me, Brother Romanson. Pray for me. I said, okay. This is how I know you can cause disturbances in restaurants. Fell down on the floor. Knocked chairs all over. I said, well, don't worry about it. She's okay. She's just being healed. That's all. You know what, they got something to talk about then. In fact, one time in a restaurant, this waitress was all disgruntled, disrumpled. And I said, are you okay? Are you in pain? She said, yes, my head. She says, I got a double shift. I've got kids. My head is killing me. I said, well, look, we can make that go away. I know someone. So I took her by the hand, prayed, and all her pain left her head. And we left her a bigger tip than all the group cost for food. Boy, when she got her tip and had no headache. And then the next day, this waitress was kind of looking at us. And, you know, we kept going back every night. This waitress kept looking at us. Finally, she got brave enough to come over and said, my friend was in a whole lot of pain. And she said that somebody prayed for, was that you guys? Because I noticed the way you're talking. And I said, last night? She said, yes. And they had a headache? She said, yes. Was that? I said, yeah. And then she started saying, well, this is wrong with me and I have this problem. Could you pray for me? And I said, sure. If you've got all of that with you, you know, these signs will follow them that believe, and you're a believer. You cast devils out, heal the sick, and speak with new tongues. They said, these signs follow them that believe, and you're the believer. The signs are following you, then who's the people getting healed? Did you know to get a miracle for somebody out there is the best track that you can handle? Hallelujah. Don't you just love him? Well, I'm finding out how to fellowship with him out of my new nature. Out of my new nature, I'm finally 27 years of ministry, finding out how to enter into that kind of fellowship with him, to give him what he's wanted, what he saved us for, what he redeemed us for, what he restored us with that new nature for. It had put me in fellowship with him. And the kind of fellowship he offers us now is beyond this natural body that the first man Adam gave us. Yet my spirit's the same as it'll be in heaven. All this glory, all this presence, all these rights I have while I'm in this body. I have the absolute privilege of fellowshipping with him like I was already in heaven. And I have the privilege of walking around with him, doing signs and wonders to convince a dying world that he loves them with the love he loves me. And he loves me with the love that he loved Jesus with.
Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you,
Jesus. That's when it gets exciting. Exciting, but to live a double-minded life, that's no fun. Come here, get convicted. Go back in the world and get free. Come here and get convicted. Go back in the world and get free. Don't even be convicted to get free. Free, 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 free. What kind of fun is that? If I was you, I'd just jump in and swim. My feet touch nothing. Chuck at this. Say, what are you doing? I'm warming up to these verses because they're heavy. I'm warming up to them. What we have to say out of Matthew 10 then is real exciting. But right now, we're talking about that new nature. We're talking about His glory. So let me show you something here. Beginning here with the 27th verse. It says, and it came to pass as He spake. And in the message He was teaching from verse 1. You know, teach us to pray, they said. And He said, okay. So he says here, and it came to pass as He spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said, and as then, as now, women really love to prophesy. He said, old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions. He said the women would prophesy, but thank God for it. They carried some of the heaviest prophecies, you know, that our promises are based on, Mary and Elizabeth. Hallelujah. Well, here's another one about to prophesy. She says in the 27th verse, and she said unto Him, yeah, blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. But He said, as He corrected her, yeah, yes. He said, yes. And then He switches her focus. Rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. And of course, He's going to tell you why. You'll be more blessed as they hear the word and keep it. If you continue in my word, John said, in recording Jesus' statement, then are you my followers indeed. And you'll know the truth, that you'll follow me through the cross, and I'll die and resurrect. You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And the Jews said, we're Abraham's seed. We've never been in bondage to any man. He said, he that sins is the slave to sin. And the slave will not abide in the house of the Father forever. But he whom the Son sets free is free indeed and will abide through that new nature in the household of the Father forever. But see, he corrected this. He said, yea, rather switch your focus. More blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. In these next few verses, he's going to tell you why you'll be more blessed for keeping the word. But right now, I want you to notice what spirit was at work there. It wanted to switch the glory off of Jesus onto who? Onto Mary. And that thing started way back then. And it succeeded. It almost took the world over one time. You know, who better the devil to divert to worship to eventually than Mary herself as the mother of God? Well, he says, rather greater is he, spiritually speaking. He said, who is my mother and my father? Who is your wife and your children? Who is my family? There's those that hear the word of God and keep it. Well, he said, rather more blessed are they that hear the word and keep it. Why? For the same reason he told Jonah, greater than Jonah is here. For the same reason he went on to tell Solomon that a greater than Solomon is here. Because he's about to take us, you know, where no man had went, where no man could go. Is about to take us on into the new nature. Hallelujah. And that was what would cause us to be more blessed. Anyway, let's go on and look at it for a minute. 28th verse again. He said, rather more blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. And when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, you're such an evil generation. You seek a sign. But there's no sign going to be given it but Jonas the prophet. As Jonas was assigned to the Ninevites, so also the Son of Man, this generation. The Queen of the South shall rise up in judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. She came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And he says, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh will rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it. They repented at the preaching of Jonas. Behold, a greater than Jonas is here. Then he tells you why you'll be more blessed from keeping it. Rather, more blessed are they that hear this word and keep it. And this is why. And notice 33rd verse. Jonas, of course, he was in the ship. They were all crying out to their gods. And he says, it's my fault that the ship's sinking. I'm running from the living God of the Hebrews. He said, listen to me, men. Throw me overboard. It's just like we threw Jesus overboard. He says, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so must the Son of Man be in the center of the earth. And then he was resurrected and preached to the world, and the whale spit him out. And he preached to the Ninevites. He said, that's a sign. Yet the one that fascinated me even more than the obvious, which Jonah's life, is an obvious sign. He said the queen of the south, which was the queen of Sheba, came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear this man's wisdom. And went her way and lived in the wisdom of his words the rest of her days. The wisdom that Solomon operated in, as we found out not too long ago, was a type of the wisdom that's available to you and I through the rebirth when we're born again. And wisdom was to Solomon what your new nature is to your spirit. And although Solomon could only lead every person that heard him underneath the shadow, right up to the edge of the rebirth, he himself yet was still limited in operating in the shadow and in the type. And he could not take anyone across that line to go from death to life to receive the nature of God, because it was not yet available. Yet he said, more rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Why would we be more blessed? And he gives the explanation in the 33rd verse. We just hadn't understood what he was talking about exactly. Now, just after he finishes in 31, 32 about Jonah and the queen of the south, and saying, but as wise as Solomon was, a greater than Solomon is here. And he says that for this reason in verse 33, this reason. No man, when he's lighted a candle, puts it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. Now that's the whole reason right there that Jesus came and a greater than Solomon is here. Right there in that verse. Thank God for the teacher of the Holy Spirit. Thank my Father God for assimilation. Not taking a verse out of context, but devouring chapter after chapter through assimilation over and over. What would be in that verse that would cause us to go from the type and underneath the shadow? Greater than Solomon is here. He says, why does a man bring a candle into a dark room? Isn't it so that where darkness once was, that there'll be light? And where that light is, it has dispelled the darkness and you can see. What he was saying is, your new nature is to your spirit what that candle was to that dark room. It becomes the light that you walk by. In the next verse, if that wasn't enough, he said, what is the light of your body? What lets light into your body? And you close your eyes for a minute, you'll find out. is nothing but darkness. It doesn't matter. There's light all around you. If there's nothing in your body that lets the light in. So what he was saying, the new nature is to your spirit what your eyes are to your body. It causes you to be able to understand the things of God. Is the illumination of God. It is the light that you walk by. It's your new nature, your availability to God, and the reason you can understand God. Your nature is not your intellect. It's not your emotion. It's the part of you you understand God with. Jesus is greater than Solomon because he gave that to you. You sit around wasted? Wake up. Wake up. And as we've said so many times, he didn't even leave you alone there. He's looking at you and say, boy, they have a new nature. As I've used so many times, the baby piranha adopted by Mother Goldfish. She pulled his little die-die down, beat his little bottom every day, and could not beat that piranha nature out of him. He just snuck off baby's friends. Till one day, Mama Piranha come back and run Mama Goldfish off. Said, where are we going, Mama? We're going down to part of the Amazon where the cows cross. What are we going to do then, Mama? We're going to strip all the flesh off their legs till they fall, and we'll eat them. You don't have to say anymore. I've been sneaking off and doing that for years. My mom just called me a rebellious teenager. So how'd you know to eat them, little Jeffrey? I don't know. I just knew what to do. That's right. Nature's not your intellect. It's not your emotions. It's something in you by which you understand what you are and who you are. That big duck egg and little mama hen's nest, and they hatch out. This funny looking little thing is running around trying to scratch like a chicken. Finally, they get close to the pond, and he makes a run for the pond and jumps in. She goes, come back. Come back, little chickie. Come back, please. No, you're going to drown. Chickens can't swim. Just went all over. How'd you know how to do that? Little baby chickie. He says, I don't know, Mama. When I got close, everything about me told me I could do it. So I just jumped in and did it. Even though you have a nature as the Son of God, you're walking around. God said, I'm going to be sure about this. So the third person of the Godhead stepped down in you as your teacher and the power and the earnest that you will inherit all that heaven is. And then they said, is this enough? They said, I don't think so. And they're going to prove it later. Although all that power's in them, some of them's going to be defeated. Emotional breakdown kind of people that can't even stand up to life. Are you sure they have the Holy Ghost? Yeah, he's in there. Well, why can't he do anything? They don't let him. So what were we going to do about this? Look at them. They worship rocks and poles with big heads carved on them, big noses. They worship anything. Compressed coal. What are we going to do? I said, well, I guess we're going to have to figure out some way to pray for them. To pray. And we're going to have to figure out a way to even create the prayer, I guess. Well, how are we going to do that? Let me see. We ought to be able to come up with something. We're God. Let me see. Well, we've got to do their praying for them because they're too dumb. Okay. And they can't even come up with a good prayer because they're too dumb. Okay. Well, the only thing I can think of is Holy Spirit, when you baptize them, I guess you're just going to have to bring prayers from heaven, and then you'll even have to pray in a language they won't understand while you're praying for them, because they won't think that you're praying for the right thing. So we'll just hide it from them until we build them up above all the garbage, and then we'll show them. You think we'll get some of them through? I don't know. Look around the prayer center. Has he?
Yeah.
So we'll just do their praying for them. And the only thing we'll need from them is what we've always needed from the human race. Is their authority. We'll borrow their authority by passing the language through their spirit. And then we'll tell them. It'll edify them and build them up in God. Do you think that's enough? No, half the church world's fighting it. So you mean if we make it that easy, they still won't? No, a lot of them won't. Some of them get up and say, you get weird and praying too much in tongues. Why? Because you'll lose your Mercedes. He may make you give it to a missionary. Why? And even with all of that, well, why don't we compile the canon of the scripture into just one book and hand that to them? You think that'll help? And then let's invent a digital system of storage that the little switches that open gates and close them are so small that you can put the whole Bible on a computer-sized chip along with the dictionary. So do you think if we get the technology where we'll have much, much more information to them that they'll make it? I don't know. They just use the technology to get whatever they wanted out. Greed, more greed. You think there's any hope? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because once in a while God will root a bunch of people out like us. And we have the privilege of laying hold on Him and not turning loose until we find out what His heart is, what's important to Him, and become His servant, His slave. And then we find out things like the salvation of whole towns are possible. Now we have purpose. Now we have a reason He'll make you an entrepreneur. Whew. Hallelujah. Well, I guess we didn't make it over there quite to the 10th chapter of Matthew, did we? But I suppose we will. Next Sunday. Boy, there's some great things over there. Great things. You want to turn over to Matthew 10 for a minute? I have two more minutes. I'll just tell you this much. Look at verse 26, 27. He said in verse 26, fear them not, therefore. There's nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that'll not be known. Well, where is it hid? What's covering it? What I tell you in darkness, that speak in light. And what you hear in the ear, that and preach upon the housetops. Well, we plan on doing that. He goes on to give you some things on why you can have a lot of confidence. Fear not those that kill the body. Well, you don't have to fear them because of the previous verses. I just want you to notice something. What do you think he's talking about when he said, what I speak to you in darkness, declare in light? What I spoke to you in the ear in the closet, proclaimed from the housetops, I can tell you. It's when Jesus gathered those around Him and taught them. And everything that He spoke to them in darkness, yet when they were yet spiritually dead, what He was saying is one day, you're going to proclaim in light through the understanding and revelation of that new nature. He said, so therefore, I'm telling you ahead of time, you're not going to have to fear him that kills the body. And we'll stop there. What he taught them while they were yet spiritually dead, they were going to declare in light out of that new nature to a whole world. And he said, guaranteed them in the verse before that, they nothing covered. No, nothing hid that you will not understand in that day of declaration. Amen. And it goes on to tell you why you don't have to be afraid. Every hair on your head's numbered. It says that two sparrows are sold for 1/16 of a man's salary a day, 1 farthing. He said, you got some kind of problem that you believe they're worth more than you. I know the amount of hair you have on your head. You're having some kind of problem believing that I'll meet your needs. But you understand, you'll be proclaiming with thorough understanding what I have given to you. Don't you understand? You don't have to take thought. You're my sons and my daughters. What's your problem? How long did it take you to develop that kind of worry? His glory. His glory. Hallelujah.